Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
It's Wrestling Therapy with your old pal Cav and Billy Body. Are you ready for your hour of therapy, Billy?
I am. I mean, this is our opportunity to do SummerSlam as well. So we thought we'd kill two birds with one stone, seeing as SummerSlam is a week old. But we did promise that we would do it. But you're getting a bonus. You're getting some therapy. Plus, you're getting a King of the Ring, which is a real bonus because they just dropped this last week after SummerSlam.
Yeah, we have a few things. I wanted to do like a fucking bracket with you for King of the Ring and see how good we get from just looking at it ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of matches have happened, but I think everybody had those on their brackets anyway.
Yeah, those were easy enough. So I wasn't, I don't think that would hurt us at all.
No, I think it really gets going. I think tonight's easy too, as we're doing this before SmackDown, but then next week it gets a bit difficult. Next week, I think, dictates the direction they're going to go in with this.
Do we want to get into that first, or we want to get into SummerSlam first?
Yeah, and we'll do our totals on this through our rating system and whatnot. What I'm going to do for this one is I'm going to skip through the pre-show. For WrestleMania, we usually do it by including the pre-show, but on this instance, they did it. They went a different route. They went with unannounced match. Other than the Cruiserweight one, they went with unannounced random matches, which I don't think should count towards it. So therefore, what are you doing there?
you always, at the littlest fucking creak, you're like, what's going on? What's going on? I'm pulling out a piece of paper to make fucking notes here.
Oh, that's fine. That's a decent sound then.
It's for work. Yeah, it's not for like fucking flipping through a fucking book.
Yeah, it's not like the making, like going to your fridge sound.
Yeah, no.
All right, so this one, weirdly, it's been a long time since we've done this, but this qualifies under for a SummerSlam under normal pay-per-view structure with a $600 face value. So it's ranked alongside all the SummerSlams in history except for the ones for the last 3-4 years that went crazy. And it's also ranked alongside old WrestleManias and all that kind of stuff. So basically in the 3-4 hour region, as opposed to going on the WrestleMania rating system, which is what I call it, which is 5 hours plus. So this one is under.
Yeah, you know what?
It's nicely under.
Yeah, and it was like a breath of fresh air that it was like, oh my God, it wasn't fucking, you know, forever. I think that's new management. I really think it is. I think they've said, I mean, leave you wanting more, not fucking, you know, killing yourself to get through it. Who needs that?
So I've labeled our system, and I want people to get used to it in terms of, like, for us not having to constantly go over what it means. So I've called it Old in Your Houses, which has a $450 face, and you should know that these are pay-per-views that are under 3 hours long. So Old in Your Houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
This middle tier has a $600 face value, and it's called standard pay-per-view, right? So this can be 3 or 4 or slightly over 4, but not 5. The final one in the rating system is called New WrestleManias, and that is $1,000 face value, and that will be 5+. So that's how we're doing it. So Old in Your Houses, regular pay-per-view, New WrestleManias. That's what I'm calling them. And the face values are 450, 600, and 1,000. Obviously, this has been the structure throughout. I've not changed anything. But I just wanted people to go through the labels as be more familiar with the labels. So we'll say it a lot more as time goes by. But I think now this is beginning to take shape, and I think people are used to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually compare it directly to the last pay-per-view that we previewed, which was SummerSlam 97, which is a good SummerSlam, which came out at $650 for me. I don't have your rating, but they're logged on podcasts unless you keep your own stuff.
No, I mean, I chuck the papers after I'm done with recording.
All right. Well, I have mine. I keep mine in my notepad. So I had that. We'll use mine. I had SummerSlam 97 at 650. It was a regular pay-per-view, same as this one. And it came in at a... Where's a regular pay-per-view? Oh, here it is. It came in at a B-.
Yeah, and I think I actually had it. I think this was thing. I had it higher.
It came in as a B, sorry. Because what I've written here is B dash and B minus minus dash. It's confusing. But it's B. It was a B, 600 to 800.
See, I think the thing was mine was higher than yours, but we were both at a B. It was in the same range, but I had higher money, but it didn't affect the grade.
So let's look at that. 22 years later, we're at SummerSlam 2019. Let me just get the... Do you remember the results, or should I bring them back up?
You need to bring them back up. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's a change in not caring as much or having a life or what it is. But back in the day, I used to be able to remember every little fucking piece of how everybody won everything. Now I'm like... Before I would pay quite attention to everything too. Now you're on your phone, you're fucking around, you know, you're watching a game on another TV, shit like that, you know?
All right, so I remember all the results. I just was checking the order. Remember the way we do it, we look into, in terms of what is added to the card, the entertainment value, segments around it, and also placement as well in terms of if something was needed where it was, in terms of we don't criticize something if it's in a good spot to break up something else. So I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a Finn Balor demon match and he wins in 3 minutes and it breaks up a no holds barred street fight and a WWE title match, then that is good placement. And I'm not going to put the Balor match down to like $20 because it needed to be there. But obviously, if it's a dog shit women's tag match with the Iconics in it that broke up the two title match, broke up a WWE and a Universal title match, then obviously I will just still downgrade it because it's bound to be bad. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
We got stuff to talk about with that match anyway. So.
Well, the Iconics lost their titles on Raw, so we're not going to talk about that.
No.
Anyway.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the Finn one later on.
The Finn one. All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a lot to say about that. And I think already that's going to make our point clear because Meltzer's probably giving this as a 2-star match, whereas I'm reviewing what it added to the card and it will end up with a high score. But we'll get to it when we get there. So Lynch versus Natalya first. Open up the card. I thought this was fine. I thought the better side of this came the next night on Raw. What came from it. So I think this opens up with a standard, just $50 match for me. I think it's about what it should have added to the card.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't anything spectacular. I think I'm right there with you with that. It was pretty basic and plug and play.
It was like it's good like to get. I think Becky's been in a spot. A couple of times now. It's good to just get her out there with her music because she's popular. She doesn't have great matches, but she has a good enough match to open up the pay-per-view. And people like her, and then they get out pop when she wins. And
you know,
in a good mood. So
to be transparent about this, this match, I literally fucking fell asleep in the middle of it. So I'm like... I hear it was fucking fine and good. I'm like, I got to watch it again. I mean, I've seen clips... Where it's, the sharpshooter in the fucking, post. All that kind of shit is cool. But the whole thing, it's where you don't give a shit with Natty. You don't care. I mean, that leads into, with Sasha and Natty, where she's doing the sob story and the crowd is chanting, thank you, Sasha. That's, I mean, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think she's a very good actress. I think she's terrible. Very, yeah, I think she's very generic, and she's very much, I don't think she's ever really grasped this, be it as a heel or a face. She's too much like an 80s version of everything that she does. So
yeah, you're right. I see that too, and I see, I've always, when she's wrestled, because everyone goes, oh, fucking fantastic wrestler. And I'm like, I don't fucking see where that is. What I see is almost dance steps. As in, when you count dance steps, you go 1, 2, 3, turn, 1, 2, 3, this. That's the way the wrestling looks to me. Like, it's land, turn, grab, move. It's very mechanical to me. Like that spinning clothesline thing. It looks very... It's not fluid to me.
No. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I never have been. I've never really been on board of it or understood it. But, yeah, I mean, she's not ever having another title run. I mean, she's not really in a prominent position. I mean, just even all that stuff from... I don't like her on, like, Total Divas either. I don't think she adds much to that.
Well, that's that whole joke where she called Stephanie drunk. That's the greatest thing ever. Hey, I have an idea. You make me Divas champion. It's like, oh my fucking God. You know, that's her idea. Just make me champion. It's modern day Bob Holly. I got an idea. Just give me the fucking belt.
And she is that. She's a Holly, Bob Holly, Jeff Jarrett kind of.
Yeah, I would put her with Jeff Jarrett for sure. She wins more than Holly does. So yeah. Until he became hardcore Holly. And then he got a couple wins, but...
So after this, we had Goldberg and Ziggler, which actually only went a minute 50. I think what do you got out of it? 2:15.
It was under 2:15. It was, I believe, a minute 45 bell to bell. A minute 47, maybe, because Fausti said he predicted it would be between 2 and 2:15, and he didn't get there. So I was like, boy, oh boy, when you count from bell to bell. But I really enjoyed it. It was entertaining. That's what his matches are. They're fucking entertaining. And it was because of Ziggler afterwards with, fuck you, you got lucky. And then he keeps coming back to kill him. And then does the whole fucking, anyone can get lucky twice. That's fucking hilarious. So I was like, look at Ziggler actually being funny. He's funnier that way than his stand-up. So I thought it was very entertaining. I'd give... I'd probably give $100.
Oh, that's what I got.
There you go.
I thought the match was a standard, like, Goldberg match, and then you can't really take that any higher than 40, but then I thought all the extra stuff added to it. And it was a different way to go about things in terms of, okay, so they can't get... Look, here's your options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ziggler pushes him to 10 minutes in the ring.
Yeah.
And he gets some offense in and whatever.
Which I thought it was going to be.
And he gets the rest holds in and all that kind of stuff. And Goldberg's kicking out his stuff and whatever. Or which would have been hard. Or you'd get your 10 minutes in like this, which was a different way to go. And we've not seen it before.
Longer 10 minutes. A different 10 minutes.
A different 10 minutes, yeah.
And that thing right off the beginning, a super kick. You go, oh, fuck. You know, it actually made you think for a second, which is better than him walking in and spearing him. It was ding, fucking kick, pin, and again with another one. And you go, oh, my God. Are they going to fucking do this, you know? So I thought that was very crafty.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, they could have, like, done a bit more with it in terms of if he's kicking out of those things, and then I guess Goldberg could have hit a spear and then maybe gone for another spear and missed it, and Ziggler could have had another
head.
Run. Yeah, they could have had, like, you know, they could have done some stuff where Goldberg missed and Ziggler had another. You could have had Ziggler making Goldberg making little comebacks, and then Ziggler cutting him off before eventually he wins. But I don't know, it doesn't matter to me, because they did, like I said, They were given 10 minutes and they used it in a different way. Whether Ziggler decided to do this or not, but I don't think he had an issue with it. I mean, people have lost to Goldberg quickly before. I mean, Lesnar's done it. So once Lesnar does it, I don't think it makes anyone above this loss. But as I said, just going back to something, this is my story at the time when Goldberg Undertaker was happening, and after that people were going, oh, we'll never see Goldberg again. I was like, yeah, you will, because a deal's been signed here, because he was free to go to AEW, and that's the last thing that they want. And there was a deal done for not necessarily done for two Undertaker matches, but the idea was to do one in Saudi Arabia and do one in America here at the SummerSlam. It didn't happen, obviously, because Undertaker doesn't want to do it.
I love that you turn into Bret Hart when you say that.
What?
The SummerSlam.
Oh, the SummerSlam. at the SummerSlam, yeah.
Every time I hear it, fucking Bret.
But yeah, I reported on the fact that Goldberg was staying around, and he was 100% already doing SummerSlam anyway, no matter how much he botched that matchup, unless he got injured, and he didn't, unbelievably. So he's going to be around anyway. He'll be at Mania. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll be at Mania doing something. All right, so we get AJ Styles and Ricochet next. Obviously, it's a good standard kind of match that these two are supposed to do, although I started to go here, and Austin was waking me up. And
Remember, you're on a different time zone as well.
Yeah, and we both fell asleep in the next match. So when we woke up in the morning, on Monday morning, we started this pay-per-view at Owens and Shane. So Our pay-per-view, our Sunday night ended at Bayley and Ember Moon. But I'm not going to downgrade too much of the Styles match because I was starting to fall asleep here. Because, like you said, because it was because of the time of it. And I'm not on that sleep pattern anymore. So 1 a.m. is late for me. And but then I can't give it more than a Goldberg match. I can only give it about $10 more than the Becky match, to be honest.
It's funny you said that, because I gave it $75.
And a lot of that also, why I've given it more, mm-hmm, was because I liked the finish. That was difficult to pull off. The catching him in the Styles Clash in the air.
I always get nervous, like when he did it off the fucking, you know, second rope type of shit, where you're like, oh, fuck, you don't land flat. Fucking, you know, you're done for over here. But, yeah, and they had a good storyline where, I mean, this is how AJ turned to be a bad guy and all that kind of shit in the first place, so.
Ember Moon versus Bayley. So I did fall asleep during this, and bearing in mind that they only had to go 9-10 minutes here, that doesn't mean, that's not a great sign. I didn't think it was a particularly, I thought it was okay, but I think it's always difficult to give this anything over 50 when I'm pretty certain that the challenger's not winning, and I had no doubt about it. So I had this down at 30 for me, because of the lack of interest in it going in. Not a great build, very standard match, and no doubt about the winner.
I put it at only fucking $20. It was what it was, pretty much. I didn't have any threat in it. The only thing that kept me like adhering to it is waiting for Sasha to show up, possibly. And it's very funny, because I had, see, on the side, to tell some of the people who listen, like when you said how you knew about Goldberg showing up, you had told me a couple weeks beforehand that it was going to be Goldberg and Ziggler. And I like to be a big shot. I tell like three of my friends who watch wrestling or whatever, I go, hey, it's going to be fun. You know, I run right to it. And right away, it's, how the fuck is that? It's already fucking like been announced that it's Miz. And I go, I don't know, he's going to show up or something. I don't fucking know. So then I look like a fucking hero when all that shit happens. And I go, yeah, see, told you. And then with the Bayley thing, I said to you, what do you think? Because I did on Twitter. I said, I'm calling my shot. Fuck it. Sasha shows up at this pay-per-view and fucks over Bayley. And I asked you what you thought. And you said, I don't think she'll show up at the pay-per-view. Probably the next night on Raw, though. Well, two for two.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be the pay-per-view, because she was around at the pay-per-view, but I knew that they were cutting stuff out of it,
mm-hmm.
in terms of a segment between Roman and Brian were left off, and none of the extra people were there, like Ali, Nakamura, Drew, Cedric, and they were told to be there, and they would make decisions on the day.
Yeah, as usual now. Fuck.
And the thing is that was all ahead of Sasha. That was all ahead of Sasha anyway. And then the cuts, and then they didn't get on either. So, I mean, Jesus, for her to get on this show, they would have had to get all their matches on, and then it would have been like 6 hours or whatever. But I knew that she wasn't involved in a finish. I knew she wasn't going onto SmackDown. I don't know what Bayley's doing, but I imagine eventually this ends with Charlotte winning the 12th or 13th belt. Oh, she's on.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It has to be. I mean, there's no one else to face at this point. it just depends how long they can keep them away from each other. With Owens and Shane next.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't your like standard Shane match that probably people would have expected, and maybe they were disappointed it wasn't. But I thought it was good just for how over Owens was. I think he was the most over person until Wyatt comes out later. I would put him above Rollins, I think, in the in terms of the crowd.
It is Canada, so
yeah. So for that, and because they did make me believe for a few seconds that he could lose, and I don't know if this was just me being concerned because I had a lot of money on this match, and it was
the truth comes out
in all of my parlays as well. And the last match I needed was the one after this. And after that, I was able to relax. So I have this at 60. I can put it above Becky and Natalia slightly, but I don't think it added as much as the Goldberg thing. I think still at that point, five matches in, the Goldberg thing was the thing that entertained me the most. And I think my ratings are consistent with that.
I put it at 80 because... Okay. I had it higher, and then it was the whole part that I, even as much as they would do a near fall or anything, I never thought for a minute that Owens would fucking lose. Just because of the whole, when you hear that he signed a contract, I'm like, sure, they could do that bullshit where it's, oh, he lost by, you know, bullshit and, you know, he's fake fired or whatever the fuck it is. But I'm like, I just don't fucking buy. I'm like, give me a fucking break. You know, it didn't do it for me. There was a lot of interference, and but it's a good match, and there's a lot of that. Anything that has that rivalry in history makes it better for me. A backstory. I need those blood feuds. That gets me going more.
All right. So up next we had Charlotte and Trish. I think this was, you could probably regard this as the big surprise of the pay-per-view, because Trish has come in and done these little bits in the Battle Royals and the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble and all that, but I didn't know she could properly go. Now, I don't know whether you attest this to Charlotte or not, because Charlotte, I only don't like her physical appearance, but she doesn't have any bad matches. And the selling and everything is always great. And again, I think the main thing this suffers from is why it doesn't get to a 200 or above or any or close, because of like the men's matches like this year. We've had the Money in the Bank and Kofi versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and the main event on the show as well. Just because, how could Trish win? You don't go anywhere with Trish winning, and it suffers from that. I think it took.
Yeah.
It takes a $50 hit for me immediately from being 200 worthy. And then also, I think a part of it, you look at it and go, what your expectations were. And I don't think you can measure it on that sense. Although I think we need to make concessions here in terms of, we look at build, we look at everything else. I don't think we can turn around and go, oh, it's better because I didn't know Trish could work. I think if you sign up to do a pay-per-view, you should be able to work. And I don't think I can just turn around and go, okay, so I'm taking some off because I knew the winner. but then I'm adding some back on because Trish surpassed my expectations. If she surpasses your expectations and this match automatically goes over 100 anyway, which it does. So I've got it bang in the middle of that at 125.
I'm way different. I got $50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just didn't... The point of you know damn well who's going to win, and I just didn't have fucking interest. I mean, they had a fucking... Was it even 2 weeks of a build-up? Yeah, I guess it was 2 weeks. I'm not even sure about that.
They did some stuff. They did the tag match. They did the whole slap. And I thought that segment, the go-home segment, was good. I thought it, like, really, like, got you ready for it with Charlotte getting slapped around the face and all that. I thought, you know, sometimes it's enough. Like, sometimes WrestleMania, even, like, you know, Hulk and Andre only had, like, three segments. So.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, we didn't have any TV back then either. Fucking superstars. The thing, too, is I am so disturbed by Trish's fucking plastic surgery. I can't fucking stop looking. I mean, her tits did look fucking fantastic in that interview beforehand. Those things were choking her, which was great. But it looks
you
funny.
You both got great tits, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic tits. I'm sure they look like fucking two rocks on a stick when she takes her fucking clothes off, though. Because I bet you she's got that fucking mom belly that has that fucking blown out balloon shit. Because you notice anyone who has it wears those outfits that she wears that cover up the... Like, oh, look at the sides of me, but don't look at the fucking middle. You know, it's one of those, and it's like... And I laugh that she has, you know... All the TS stuff all over, which I thought was appropriate for the initials of transsexual, because that's what she fucking looked like. Looked like a fucking alien. I don't know if it's that fucking hairdo either, that, you know, 70s, whatever the fuck, you know, Farrah Fawcett looking thing, where it's feathered out. It's just not for me, and with the dark on top, but the bottoms are fucking light, and I'm more of a blonde. I like the blonde. But, I mean, listen. It's not 97 anymore, whatever the fuck she showed up, 2000. You know, she's an older woman. She has children. What are you going to fucking do? But I'm sure she would have been a pretty woman normally. But the problem is the good-looking women who age. They don't know what to do. They freak the fuck out. Ugly chicks like Charlotte, she's never going to have anything fucking done because why bother? She's never known the fucking, you know, goodness. So Trish being a fucking supermodel and now all of a sudden going, fuck, I'm old and my eyes are getting fucking cracks and bags and I got to fucking Botox my face and pull myself back and look like I'm fucking surprised all the time. It doesn't help. She doesn't probably fucking need all that shit.
The surprise face, the expressionless.
It's always, they always look like they're shocked. You go, whoa, what happened? And they go, what are you talking about? I go, fuck, I thought you were surprised by something. They got their fucking eyes wide open. They fucking looking around like they're crazy. I'm like, oh, fuck. My buddy in Hollywood has the greatest line about men and women aging. He says men age like fine wine. Women age like milk. Thank you.
That's good, actually.
That is very fucking good. It's true. They age like fucking milk.
What are you saying this is a match again? You
did $50. And I don't like Charlotte either. I'm fucking, you see the new SmackDown coming to TV commercial? She's in it 5,000 fucking times. And of course the commercial starts with Triple H. I'm like, why? But it's just always, and then you see the height discrepancy looks fucking ridiculous. This happens even with the guys to me. Like when it's Cedric against Drew, you go, it's just not realistic to me. You know, I'm going to go stand next to Drew and say, I'm going to fight you, Drew. I'm up to his fucking tits. You know, I mean, you might get a good fucking couple shots if you got some fucking, you know, some fucking shot to you. Like if you're Tyson, if you're large sideways like Tyson, I get it. When it's two women like that, you go, well, they're equal in stature with fucking strength, and one is fucking a foot taller. Height will always fucking win if you're both equal in the strength department. So, you know, the suspend disbelief was a little rough for me on that one because she was way fucking taller.
All right, so let's get on to Kofi and Orton. Mm-hmm. I only have this at $25, and that's because I've disregarded like most of the match, because it was a pretty normal kind of match. You know, they're decent workers, they can obviously gel. You have no business doing this finish on a big four pay-per-view. In order to set up where you're going for the next 2-3 months. Obviously, I know they're going to Hell in a Cell, where this will be the main event. But I mean, I still don't think you have business doing this finish. Not the double count out in terms of he looked at, there was other ways to do it. Like, I like the, you know, a few years ago, actually, it was only last year, Jesus. Last year, where Joe got on the mic and said something to AJ's family and then he pulled that chair out or whatever. I like that better than this. I thought this was a lot cheaper, and the crowd hated it as well.
Okay. Now, I agree with you with the ending was very poor. I gave it $60. I had hope that Orton was actually going to win this. Like, I picked Orton to win. I said, fuck, I know. If I had a gun to my head, I wouldn't have. But I was like, fuck it. I'll pick Orton. You know, I'm like, it's SummerSlam. It's been this amount of time. Okay, fine. Because we all thought Brock was going to cash in on the fucking, when the show started for SmackDown and shit. And that fucking didn't happen. So I'm like, well, maybe they'll just do this now instead of a first day of SmackDown. The problem was, it was almost like they didn't warn Kofi's family that this was going to happen. Like, you can't have a kid that age, because it was like the kid needed to act. And the kid was totally, like, not. And not playing along at all. Because it was like he should have been, you know, if he was saying, I'm going to kill your daddy and all that, the kid should have been freaked out. And kids fucking, like, punking him out again, back to him, you know. So, and the crowd, I don't think, saw what was going on. I don't think the crowd knew why Kofi flipped out. I think that was a major part. I think if they would have had it better, if Orton grabbed a microphone and said something to the kid, I think that would have done something even much better than what they did, because I think the crowd just did not know what the fuck was going on.
Well, I mean, that is also based on the reaction of the kid. Now, obviously, like, the kid probably knows Randy Orton, so it would have been a push for him to even go there. But to even get to that point anyway, the best case scenario is that this kid can switch it on for you. But he wasn't. And in fact, instead of being a bad actor, he was actually goading Orton.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was doing Orton's stuff, right? So.
Yeah, it just that was the problem. The kid was the problem more than anything else. They didn't. That was one of those things they almost needed to do a pre-tape somewhere else, so they could edit it and have the kid crying.
So why? Kind of so why do you have it so high then? If you agree with me,
well, $60, I don't feel is high at all. I also look at, because of the ending of him freaking out, I know where that they're going to be doing something else, and that it's going to be, you know, continually blood feud type of stuff, because now he's angry. So I enjoy that part of it. I just don't enjoy how we saw with the kid. But I don't mind a disqualification freak out now, because we're in a kind of like a different era with network, because Orton got split open by Brock. And that was the fucking final match of fucking SummerSlam once. So I'm like, if they could do that for the final fucking match of SummerSlam, they could do this before the final match, because they don't seem to qualify this belt as the final match belt anyway.
All right. Okay. But just to let you know, mm-hmm. $67 a match brings this out at the average face value. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like what I'm trying to say is that in order for every match to provide its quota equally for this pay-per-view, then it would provide $67 value. So you're saying,
so it's a little under.
So you're saying that this match pretty much delivered its worth of the card. Obviously, now that's not structured right. So if you were to perfectly structure a card, you'd probably go main event 200 and then everything under 100, 100, 100, and it would be descending. It obviously doesn't work like that.
If this was the very last match and main event, I probably would have had it less. But I just don't. Now it kills me because in my head I say this is the goddamn title.
Well, this is. I agree. That's why I have it at 25 because I don't like what they're doing with his title. But anyway, I've rated it, and I think with the difference between Charlotte and what you had for this match, I think we're going to probably be coming up at the same letter.
Yeah, because I had fucking Bailey and Moon at 20 fucking bucks.
So we're coming up here at the Fiend versus Balor, which we're probably going to talk about for a bit. It's only 3 minutes and 25, but I think for the first time you'd see it,
I'm at 435.
435?
Yes, for the card so far.
Oh, okay. I'm saying I was bearing in, unless they'd gone 17 minutes and the Fiend had to sell and everything, this was already going to be at 100 for me because the entrance was worth 80 or 90 bucks by itself because we'd waited so long for it and then it delivered on that. Now, moving forward, you can't basically be giving something 80 or 90 for this entrance again. But after all of that anticipation and then wondering what they were going to do with it, and they nail it like perfectly with the music and everything like that, I think it doesn't matter what else you do in the match at this point because it's already there. I think then in terms of doing the match right, in terms of the Fiend's in control, and then why Balor makes enough of a comeback but not enough to do any damage at all, because once he makes the adjustments and the voices control him and all that stuff, and then he applies the mandible claw, and then there's obviously that little bit at the end where he disappears and looks back. I think that was done well as well, so I added another 40 bucks to it. So I have this at 130, which is, people are going to say, oh, that's stupid for a 3 minute match, but
wait till they hear what I say.
But I think at this point this is the best thing on the card, so I can't not have it rated as that. So I've given it, that's the best thing on a card. Therefore, I had to give it $5 better than the Charlotte match, which everybody was raving about and the crowd responded to positively. So I'm going to leave it to you now because I don't have anything else to say about it.
What is the face value of the ticket for SummerSlam, did we say?
This is a $600 regular pay-per-view.
Now, I will say, I would have paid the entire fucking ticket for this by itself. I would put this at the 600 by itself. And
that's crazy.
So if someone said this from that entrance, and all it had to do is it's the entrance and him fucking leaving. I don't even care about the fucking match. The entrance and him leaving was so fucking good. They couldn't have done it any better than they fucking did. Everyone was wondering. I was wondering. I go, what could you possibly? What music's he coming out to? Is he coming out to the fucking funhouse thing in his sweater and then putting on this mask and being like Al Snow avatar and then being mean? Or how in the fuck they're gonna do this? The fucking lantern was his old fucking head with his fucking mouth open. This is beyond the fucking greatest thing. This is. I think it's beyond, God, can you, I mean, we've been spoiled with Undertaker, and like, I want to say it's better than the Undertaker's entrance, probably because we've seen Undertaker's entrance, you know, our whole lives practically, but this is the best entrance I've ever seen, I think, in wrestling. The way they tweaked the music was fucking fantastic. You couldn't get a better theme than that. Right away, I'm like, is the theme available on iTunes yet? But, like, I'd almost like to separate the rest of the card from this, because for me, I would have paid pay-per-view for just that and been fine with it and said that was the most. I was like in fucking awe. And how often does that happen nowadays with us being adults watching wrestling? There's every once in a while you get caught up and you go, oh my fucking God. That was one of those fucking, you know, Mick Foley being thrown off the cell fucking moments where you're like, holy fuck, what did I just fucking watch? And then him turning his back and they fucking zoom into his face and fucking with it. I'm like, holy fucking Christ. I don't even know how they're going to fucking do this again. I can't imagine that they continue to do this, the leaving part at least. Because you can't, I mean, eventually you got to be fucking semi-fucking normal and have a fucking match. But the mask is fucking fantastic. The outfit's better than, you know, what he's had to fucking deal with. It was just, everything was fucking great. It was completely great. And I give that entrance and leaving the entire fucking ticket price.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm telling you, I would pay attendance to watch that. And it's the same way as, who do you want to see in NXT TakeOver? Who are you always fucking waiting for? And who would you pay your money to see? And this is the same with like All Wrestling. You go, who is like when Austin was around? You go, I'm paying money to see fucking Austin. All the other stuff around there is fine. I'm paying money specifically for one fucking person. And that's only happened a few times. Like for NXT, I sit there and wait for Velveteen Dream. That's all I fucking care. I'm like, I can't fucking wait till he comes out because it's fucking entertaining as shit. So it's like, I'm paying my money price for that one fucking thing. And I wouldn't have known it before if I was walking into SummerSlam. I wouldn't have said, well, I'm here to see The Fiend. Who cares? I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. It could shit. But now after that, I'd be like, I want to pay to fucking see. Is he wrestling on a pay-per-view? Because I want to see this fucking entrance. You tell me the next pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell or whatever, if he is on the card, are you going to be excited to go, fuck, I can't wait till he comes out?
Yeah, but I think that when we do SummerSlam 2020, mm-hmm. I think that would have certainly run its course. And then
yes,
we would then have a historical figure of somebody giving the full ticket price for an entrance, which can't possibly stand up. I mean, yeah, obviously, you can grade it how you want, but I mean, I've looked at it and given it pretty much as $100 alone for the entrance, mm-hmm. which I think is me taking into consideration that they built it up for ages and then they paid it off. But
see, that's why I kind of almost want to separate it, because I know it's like it blows everything out by just doing that by itself. But if you just go by what are you, you know. It, like, if I left SummerSlam, I would say, you know what? That Fiend thing was worth my entire fucking ticket. That's what I would say leaving the place. I would say my ticket was worth that by itself. I'm fucking fine with the rest of the show because I saw what the fuck I just saw.
Yeah. I get that, but like...
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that means that every Mania you'd be...
Well, no, it will wear off. But I mean, this is a first. This is the first time we've ever seen it. Like, if Mick Foley fell off a fucking cage every fucking night, you know, you're dead from it. You go, who cares? But the first time of anything like that, it's so spectacular. It's because it's the first.
But this is the thing. When Mick Foley falls off the Hell in a Cell,
mm-hmm.
you know that he's... Next time he has a match, he's not going off the Hell in a Cell. Every time Wyatt wrestles, the entrance will be repeated.
Yes.
So it doesn't have that. Whereas Mick Foley, Hell in a Cell, if you turn around and win, we're covering King of the Ring, and you say the Undertaker match against Mick Foley comes out at 600, it's fine, because we're still talking about it now. The entrance won't
last. Yeah, you're true. That's right. You do make a good point there. So if I have to, I'll make the amendment saying that this match is worth the entire thing for me, but judging it separated from all that kind of stuff and seeing what's going to be normally and everything like that, then I can make a different price. So I should just say that it's worth the whole SummerSlam for me, that one thing. But if you're going to judge it for money from then, I'll go at least 150.
Yeah, that's probably round where I had it, just in terms of, because I started at 100 and then I just did the match because I felt like
Yeah, the match, yeah. Who cared to me? I didn't. Yeah, the match was nothing.
But it's... the match could have been done wrong. Like, it could have been done incorrectly.
That is true.
Like, they could have given Balor too much, and they gave him enough without hurting either one of them.
Yeah, and you know, I just really hope it doesn't.
I'm going to give the entrance 100 and the match 40. I'm going to move up $10 myself there, just in terms of reflection.
I just really hope, and we know it's going to happen, is it's going to be the Fiend versus the fucking Demon.
I don't think so. I think they'll head more towards the Fiend being the guy that beats Rollins, or and then moving on to Undertaker, or doing the Undertaker first and then moving on to the champion.
I'd be interested to fucking see. I mean, they should really make this motherfucker a fan favorite. I mean, everyone fucking is going to be cheering like crazy.
Well, that's the problem that they have, and there's a story that I put out. That's a story I put out on Patreon where it said that they're worried about these reactions, and then the sales came in for SummerSlam, and he sold number two of the weekend, but he wasn't behind a wrestler. He was behind the Toronto SummerSlam merch.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Which means that he was actually the number one wrestler,
yeah,
for the weekend. So, yeah. All right, so the last match, Rollins versus Lesnar. This is pretty good. With the story that they told going in, the fact that Rollins was winning, I thought Rollins was winning, but I wondered with all of that stuff if they were giving us an out, like they would give us like a match stoppage. If he started coughing up blood with F5s, then they had a gateway to stop the match, because although Rollins guaranteed it, he could then come out and say, "I didn't want the ref to stop it. It was out of my hands. I'm so angry that the ref stopped it. I deserve another chance," and you get another match out of it. But they didn't do that whole internal bleeding thing. They did what I thought they would do, which is give Rollins the belt and have it around for the NFL season, which they haven't done most of the time since they've had Brock Lesnar.
Oh, you so think that's what it's all about? Because, oh, we need the belt on TV because people will watch Raw over the Monday Night Football because of that?
Well, it can't hurt.
Oh, God. I think he overthinks. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I don't think with SmackDown launching, they wanted a belt. They wanted the belt off TV, personally.
And yeah, I think but it's a, do you I think? Th- oh, because of well, I mean, that's not the SmackDown thing. So, do you think that matters to them?
That Lesnar will be going over to SmackDown as well after, because I mean that's. Especially with them starting it with the whole bringing back faces from the past thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's his actual home. And if it's going to be the bigger show, I can easily see him being on it.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, I was like, it just, a lot of it made no sense to me, where it was, he killed fucking Rollins 2 weeks ago as we were talking at SummerSlam. 2 weeks before, he fucking pulled him out of the goddamn ambulance. He fucking dropped him on his ribs 5,000. He's coughing up blood. He's dying. Okay, he gets a week to heal, and he comes out to go see Brock again. Brock easily just kicks him in the stomach. Like, if you had broken ribs, somebody taps you, you're going to fucking be crying. He kicks him in the fucking ribs and, you know, fucks him up again. So, realistically, if Rollins walks to the ring, Brock punches him one time in the fucking stomach, and he is not functioning, and he's dead. And it was like, oh, so he was picking him up by his girdle, which I thought was funny as hell, and he's swinging him around and throwing him. I'm like, that's the problem with the realism. You're like, well, he'd be so fucked up from this. He wouldn't be able to fucking breathe. But, you know, he gets his second wind and he's coming back and all that shit and, you know, curb stomping like a motherfucker. But I was surprised that he actually won the fucking belt. And I'm like, boy, they jerk off to Rollins, I guess, because I'm like, he's one of fucking like three other guys who have beaten Brock twice or something like that. And it's like, really? Little Seth Rollins is beating up Brock multiple times.
Well, so there's guys that have beaten, I don't think anyone's beaten Brock twice since he came back.
Not since he came back, like, ever. I think, like, Angle was one of them. I think Cena might be. Triple H. They had it on fucking one of the, on Instagram. It was like, oh, look who's joined the club of, you know, the two. Because I think it was, it was only three other guys or something that beat him twice.
I'm going to try and work out who they are because I'm trying to think. I would think it would only be.
Oh, Reigns was in there. That's for
Reigns
sure.
Is not. Reigns has only beaten him once, though.
I believe they have him in it.
It's Rollins. I think it's Rollins, Goldberg, and
Goldberg.
Kurt Angle.
That was
and
into.
Kurt Angle has beaten him twice.
There you go.
They would be the three, but I don't. Rollins hasn't.
You mean Reigns?
Yeah, Reigns. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Cena certainly hasn't, because Cena lost all those matches.
Well, Cena got him once, at least. We know that. That comeback fucking match where I was like, why would they have him fucking come back and lose? Right? I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That was real stupid. That was kind of like, you work for us now.
Yeah, that was. It was very much, you're going to do what I fucking say and get whooped. And it was like, it was bad. So, has Triple H beat him more than once?
No.
Because he had that arm broken thing, but then he redeemed himself and won, right? And that was only one shot.
Yeah, Brock only beat him at Brock only lost him at WrestleMania. So, And Taker has one win over him. Yeah, I mean Taker's record against Brock is 1-4.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I mean it's definitely those three. But also, like, one of Angle's wins is like in a triple threat as well. So I mean, even he barely has the two wins as well himself. So I mean, this guy has not lost like to a lot of people, like not especially not twice. I mean, I don't think he's even really lost a major feud to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, talk about protecting him. How soon before Brock has the NXT belt now?
No, I think he'll go and get Kofi's belt, to be honest.
I hope. I would take that. It seems like I would love to know the new contract because he seems to be on a lot more.
Do you know the only guy that that has beaten Lesnar and Lesnar hasn't got a win back on him?
There is someone?
Yeah.
Who's beaten him? It had to be back in the fucking day, right?
Hmm. There's only one person to beat Brock, and then Brock hasn't beaten them too.
Jesus Christ, who the fuck could that be? It's got to be way back, and back in the fucking 90s.
Not 90s.
Or 2000, whenever the fuck he came, yeah, when he came.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. I don't
know. You'll kick yourself. Oh,
it's going to be someone fucking stupid?
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be someone little, right?
You'll kick yourself.
Okay, go ahead.
Eddie.
Oh, shit. How could I forget? Yeah, you got him at fucking No Way Out, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Shit, and then he fucking left. And then when he came back, Eddie was dead, right?
Yeah.
That's one way to get out of your fucking, I don't have to return the favor.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because Hulk Hogan always wanted his wins back, but he never got. I don't think he ever got his win back on Goldberg. I think Goldberg was the guy that got away from Hogan, and Hogan was never be able to get that win back. He got the one back off Warrior, but he never got that one back off Goldberg.
Yeah, you know what's funny is because Bischoff says that's bullshit. That's not true. That's not how things went down. Shit like that, because it was always Oh, he wanted Warrior into WCW just to get his win back.
So, where did you have this match? Because I had it at 200. I thought it was one of the best matches of the year. I tried to.
Wow.
They told like a decent story, and they was just like all act. This is Brock's best match for a while,
I mean, the best the best match he's had this year, easily. I mean, I know he was in the Money in the Bank, and that was a higher rated match because I had it at, I believe I had it at 250 or 300, the Money in the Bank match this year. But Brock barely did anything in that. But for an actual Brock performing, this is the best match that I think he's had since, jeez, I can't even think. Probably back when he was back in SummerSlam 2017, I think, when he had that fatal four-way. So probably Brock's best match for 2 years.
Brock always has really fucking good matches, I think. Even though they're like he's the strong guy in him and shit like that, he sells fucking fantastic. He just does everything well. It's really something. Like, you wouldn't expect, from what you hear, you'd expect him to be like, who cares, and not put anyone over or not fucking sell, all that shit. And he fucking really does. Really good at it. His selling, I think, is some of the best that there's ever been. You really believe he's fucked up. Probably because he's sweating so fucking much, too. That makes him look like he's fucking dying. I put it only 120. I wasn't jumping up and down for it. And I was kind of upset that Rollins won it again at the end. I'm like, fuck. Just because it's fucking, it's weird to me with the whole Rollins thing with their, that they're, you know, I'm like, huh, you beat him again. It, like I said about the whole broken ribs thing, that bothered me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Seth Rollins, and this may have come in higher if it was somebody else, because this is up there with the match that Kofi and Brian did and the money. I mean, the big pay-per-views this year have delivered a high-level match on all of them. I mean, you can go to Mania and find a match. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view was good this year. Even looking back at the pay-per-views like Extreme Rules and whatnot, the mixed tag in itself and other matches on the card, that there have been good matches throughout the year. But I think when it comes in a final match, or it's for one of the two titles, it is a lot better. And then I think with these two, especially with Brock lately over the last year, only doing the 10 minute thing or under, he actually had to work here, and he showed that he could still do it.
Yeah, I mean, his work's always been fucking good, and seeing him be around more often is fine with me. I know people get all pissy because Brock's fucking in and out. I'm like, hey, wouldn't you take these fucking deals? I'd take these deals. He made great deal.
But, I mean, his work, I mean, that's the thing, is that his match at Mania wasn't that great. I mean, the match they had at Mania was a lot more short-cutted than this, in terms of it centered around Brock beating him up before the bell, and then Seth won. It's all quick get outs, and they just didn't have that here. They did he did a real match, which he hasn't done all year.
So where do you have your whole entire pay per view at?
I had it just under making a B+. I had it at 790.
Wow.
So I got 50, 100, 60, $30, $60, $125, $25, $140, and $200 to finish.
I have it at a total of $705.
So again, we clocked in at the B bracket, the 600 to 800 bracket. You at 705 and me at 790. If I had found $15 more on this pay-per-view, then I would have had it at the B+, taking it past SummerSlam 97. But you know what? It didn't feel better than SummerSlam 97. Obviously, with the wrestling has improved, and automatically with improved match wrestling, in terms of obviously looking at the comparison of something in the 90s, you didn't have Los Boricuas and DOA coming in at $20. You didn't have that match. You didn't have the LOD and the Godwins. You didn't have any of that dragging it down.
LOD and the Godwins.
These performers don't perform like those guys. It's not acceptable anymore to do that match. So automatically, you're going to get a boost. But
in terms of the historical sense of 97 and the fact that this one will be largely forgotten in 12 months, it would be difficult to rank it higher. But you are going to see more and more of that in terms of these pay-per-views with the wrestling just being so fluid that it is going to come up higher. But I'm glad that it didn't get into a different bracket from SummerSlam 97 and it's sitting here at a B. And I'm glad I didn't find that $15, because I think if I'd come in at a B plus for this, I would have been scratching my head and probably like reevaluating matches and trying to shave dollars off, which makes it a disingenuous rating when you're doing that. So I think I did it right.
I was happy with the pay-per-view overall. I think they've gotten a little bit better recently with everything that they've been doing. So I wasn't disappointed in the I was disappointed where I was at watching it, and you know, the internet and all that kind of shit was giving me fucking issues. But I made a boys' weekend out of it and ate fucking like garbage and all kind of good stuff. So that's what pay per views are meant for.
So I'm looking through, and I think that this was the best Lesnar match since the match against AJ at Survivor Series 2017. I think it was better than the Bryan match from Survivor Series 2017. See, Survivor Series, when Brock was a champion, they would have met when they were doing the whole champ versus champ thing. They were the years where you had to like, they're the matches where he's had to work. Otherwise, he's had a pretty easy 2 years since that fatal four-way in 2017. He hasn't had to do much. Even last year when he lost the belt to Roman, they had Braun at ringside and, you know, they were doing that whole thing. There have been a lot of shortcuts to protect this guy while he's been flirting with staying healthy with UFC. But now that's completely gone. Mm-hmm. He can work properly again. And I beating Kingston for this title, because I think that's what's going to happen. Because I don't want to see it on Kofi yet anymore. I'd rather Orton just get it, actually, because I like what Orton's doing. We can talk about the two Raws now, and then we'll talk about King of the Ring as well. But I like Orton with the revival, and that thing last night reminded me of when he was kissing Stephanie and had her like handcuffed.
God, that was so great. Had Triple H handcuffed.
Yeah. And in this one where he's holding
Woods, like after the match, yeah, or something like that.
Holding Woods.
Well, sorry. Or holding Kofi. Yeah.
Yeah, holding Kofi, and they're breaking Woods' legs. But it's funny because
pretty good.
I don't know whether what did they do? Vacate the? He has to sell that, or is he really injured? I don't know, because he can't defend the titles on that. Otherwise, he's not selling that properly.
That so is true, because I'm like, yeah, he's got to make it. You know, I always think when these injury kind of things happen that like, oh, he needed a surgery, so that's write him off.
You know? But at the same time, it helps this story. So
yeah, and it's like, great, we could write him off, and this is how we do it. But yeah, he would have to give up the fucking titles. That's the fucking issue. And you know, yeah, watch this. I want you to see what the fuck happens. And Woods was a good actor, screaming and yelling and all that kind of shit.
Yeah,
him and Paige will be in the same fucking hospital beds.
What do you think of the Sasha stuff that they've done now that she's back?
It's so funny because I had the girlfriend watch the other week, like when Sasha was on or something, and she said, she was like, like she looks at her like looks, right? And I started laughing because I said, you know what our line is about her? That she's almost really good looking. Like, she's so close to being fucking good looking. There's just something fucking wrong. And she's like, yeah, something's off with her face. There's just something fucking off. I'm like, yeah. I like, obviously, we all wanted her to be a bad guy again and do all that shit. And let's see if this wig falls off her fucking head. I thought it was pretty good that that the wig even fucking stayed on for that minute that she was in the ring and all that kind of shit. And that you didn't see the other one.
She's immediately more attractive doing this, though. That's the weird thing.
Oh, because she got that bad girl in her? You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we were saying at the beginning where it was Natty saying shit like, you know, oh, my father and this and that. It was like,
well, it's ironic because the thing was putting me off Sasha, like, because I used to like her in NXT. And it was the whole, crying and hugging people after winning titles.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, like, why are they letting her do this?
That's the problem. I don't think she can control. I mean, we're going to see. I mean, well, now winning a title would be old hat for her. So I think in the beginning it was like, you know, it's that woman, you know, oh, I'm so fucking, you know, I'm broken down from winning something like this. It's been my whole life, yada, yada, all that bullshit. So I think it was just naturally, because she was a bad guy and she was doing that shit too, where she was, remember she had that match with Bayley, where they gave them flowers and everything and they came out and they were like, this is the greatest fucking match ever. And she was like a monster in that match, smashing her fucking hands and, you know, being as bad as possible.
Well, that was down to them main eventing.
Yeah.
The
and so then she was so proud after, she's sitting there crying and like everyone's hugging each other and you're like, oh, talk about breaking fucking character right in the middle of the fucking thing, you know. But that's their fucking deal. But do you want to do a King of the Ring bracket?
Yeah, let's do the King of the Ring bracket, because okay, that's the main thing I think that's going on at the moment. As apart, I mean, obviously they're doing Orton and Kofi and they're, mm-hmm, they're clearly going to be doing Rollins and Strowman, which was weird because last night it was like the whole thing was like, yeah, I know you looked at my belt and I'll give you a title shot. So we'll talk.
Don't look at my belt. Yeah, I saw you gazing at my dick. All right, I'll give this to you later.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, looking at this thing, I kind of flew through something real quick and then I started getting fucked up a little bit and I go, well, you know, here's my issues. If
just
they were,
I'm wondering. First, just one thing I want to say before this gets going, this isn't a real King of the Ring. Like the whole,
no, it bothers me too. Yeah,
the whole thing is supposed to be like
one night.
Oh, who has the endurance to win this?
Yep.
The whole tagline is, oh, certain. You have to like win a certain number of matches in one night. I didn't even like it when it used to be down to four. It's like, oh, what? You got to win like two of them now.
Yeah.
In this one, you may have to win one match. Like, this could happen at Clash of Champions. Ideally, I've worked out that I've done my my maths, and I think I could see the final here.
Well, don't say the final. Okay, we're going to go piece
by piece.
No,
I think I could see the final at Madison Square Garden, and this won't get to Clash of the Champions. But if they don't do that, then they may take a week off. Or it depends how they stagger out the rest of the draw, because if they just do two matches a week and then they do the semifinals on separate weeks or whatever, then I won't,
you know. Depends what I'm gonna laugh my fucking ass off if they take a week off for the main championship for the end. I'd be like, this is so not the King of the Ring. I'm like, now you get even a week off. You don't even have to go back-to-back weeks, let alone fucking in a row.
They should make the Madison Square Garden show special. Like, they should at least have four guys left and make them wrestle twice in one night at MSG.
Yeah, and we know they're not going to.
So, I mean, if you finish, if the MSG show, the last match is on Raw, is the King of the Ring final, mm-hmm, that's better than holding this out to the pay-per-view.
You know, I have a big fucking issue in some of these because I don't think they're smart enough to do good guy versus good guy and bad guy versus bad guy. That's what bothers me a lot. And so it's like, well, you know, when one wins, the other one's going to be the other guy. And I'm hoping they don't do it like that, because there's someone here I'm like, well, if I think this guy's going to fucking win, how the hell is this guy losing? Because he's a good guy and I have a bad guy in the other one. I'm like, how is this fucking possible then? So, you know, I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be interference and bullshit and yada yada, all that kind of shit. But, all right. So we have Cesaro and Joe. We, I think, by the honor system, we would have picked Joe to win that.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've already had Cedric and Sammy, and I think by the honor system, we would have both had Cedric as well.
Yeah, one's doing the losing streak gimmicks,
yeah. Yeah. So now in that first round, underneath Joe, who will fight against Joe, you would have Ricochet versus Drew. Now, a lot of people said on Raw last night and fucking ruined it, because I'll spoil you right now. I'm not picking Drew to win this whole thing, because all the announcers go, "Oh, I'm picking Drew." I go, "Well, fuck. You're never going to fucking, what is this, fucking Vince Russo? They're going to change everything if that's the fucking real thing." So I heard today, I'm listening to a fucking podcast, and they were like, "Oh, it's got to fucking end up with Cedric versus Drew eventually in that bracket, doesn't it?" And I'm like, I don't think so. It would make sense if they did, but I don't have it getting there at all. I thought like they were in the next fucking one, like next to each other, and I'm like, they're not. They would have to go to the fucking, to the finals of that fucking bracket to face each other, and I'm like, that's not fucking happening. So I'm picking, because Joe won, and Joe is still officially a bad guy, I'm picking Ricochet to beat Drew.
I agree with you, and I think you can get the match out of this. You can have Drew attack him afterwards.
Ricochet's always attacked afterwards. He's going to be dead by the end. Yeah.
And then whatever injuries he got makes it easy for Joe to win the next round. And that's the thing. I was torn between whether Ricochet gets two lucky wins and ends up against Corbin in the semi, or whether he loses to Joe.
You bastard. You with this fucking jump ahead bullshit.
But I mean, I'm just picking Ricochet here, so that's all I'm committing to.
Shit. Okay, down the line then. So we have Cedric who shoots out there. So my thought is...
I'll tell you another reason. Let me give you an inside information. And I don't think this is
saying
too much. So I'm going to go through some messages here. I'm just trying to find exactly why I don't think it will be Drew. All right. So I text Drew and say, "You're the betting favorite again." And he put, "I'm jinxed." He goes, "Betting always jinxes me. Do you not know what's going on yet?" And he put, "Will be awesome, but nothing happens till it happens."
You don't think this will get him in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No, because I know what to read and what not to read. He went, "Doubt I'm winning it based on the fact that I'm currently in Panama the day before next week's Raw, where the match is going to happen, as it's not on this week." So this is like talking about, this is talking about the Raw that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, "I'm in Panama the night before and I'm not on Raw this week. If something goes wrong with the flight, which is common from Tour/SmackDown, I will miss Raw." Basically, what he's saying is that they got him on a weird trip where it doesn't really matter if he makes it or not, because they'll just push the match back or change or replace him or whatever, which is not the way that they would be looking at it as a winner.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of he feels that if he's winning, which nobody has been told yet, I think, if they are or not. But if he was,
Jesus Christ.
He just thinks that he would be doing his thing yesterday,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to being in a fucking weird city on a SmackDown tour and having to make it all the way back for Raw.
Okay. That makes sense that's a long fucking run to have to get into a match that.
Yeah. So obviously, like, this is not inside information. If you guys go online and have a look at house shows or whatever, you will see what he's advertised for. So he's just saved me a job of having to research it. But yeah, that's a logical thing in terms of people that they're not breaking their necks to give them to wrap them in cotton wool and make sure that they're there. You would think that they're not winning. But then I think as we're doing this show, I'm glad that we waited it out for me to go more along with the announcer thing as opposed to anything that he said to me. Because the last text I sent to him was last night, this morning when I woke up at 9:48 this morning. I put, "You're fucked for the King of the Ring." All the commentators picked you, and then Booker T did as well.
Fuck. What's his reply to that?
Oh, he hasn't replied yet.
Oh.
But
it's the middle finger. Okay, so we got Cedric, obviously, who moves on. And so now you got the Miz and Corbin, right? So in my logic is, God forbid they ever do good guy versus good guy or bad guy versus bad guy. So I have Corbin beating Miz and going then against Cedric in the next round.
I think Cedric versus Miz just doesn't work for me. It feels weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because for them, it's just good guys, though.
Yeah, it has a weird feel. And I think, and also, I saw that Corbin got pinned on Raw, so.
Okay.
And he has a different outfit.
Well, he took his shirt off during the match.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, and he had different shoes. I noticed that, too. Okay, on the other side of the bracket. Now, we haven't had any of these yet. So here is where. I think it's a lot trickier on this side. A lot. Owens versus Elias.
I find this side really easy.
Wow. I'll tell you why it's fucked up for me, and you tell me why it's easy for you. Owens versus Elias. What do you have there?
I got Owens.
Now, here's the thing. I wrote down Owens, but then I saw the fucking next line, and I go, I can't have fucking Buddy beat Ali. So I was like, Ali has to fucking win that. Which then makes me change my pick to fucking Elias above it. And I said, they'll get fucked. Owens has to get fucked in this match now. Some way, somehow, he's got to get it fucked by Shane. And lose this. And Elias moves on. Because is Buddy Murphy going to beat fucking Ali on the next fucking one? They're doing this whole Ali fucking, I should have fucking had the title shot.
I think you can find a way for Buddy Murphy to win. I think you can have Shinsuke Nakamura interfere.
Really? You know what? I didn't see SmackDown last week. Was Ali busy with fucking Shinsuke?
No, but he has a non-title win over him before SummerSlam.
Okay.
But I think even without that, you can have Buddy win. I mean, Buddy had the match against Roman. I don't think he could take a loss either. It's a weird match to do, those two. Because neither of them can take the loss. I can see what you're saying in terms of Elias and Owens, and I do feel that the finalist is a babyface from that side, either Ali
same with
or
me.
Owens. Or Owens, because the other side of the bracket is weak. Because I feel that Ali or Owens is definitely going to face Andrade. I think Owens is the one talking about the King of the Ring, so that when he gets screwed in the King of the Ring final against somebody, it means more.
Okay. So you're going to go with Buddy then officially and Owens on the other side.
Right yeah.
There. Okay. So we're completely different on those two. Next is Gable and Shelton, which is very interesting. I'm like, oh, shit, fucking haven't seen either of these fucking guys in forever other than Shelton looking puzzled. I'm like, wow, fuck. It's funny because Gable, you can't even tell who the fuck he is because that haircut and that whole little boy shit. So that's interesting. Gable and Shelton, who are you picking there?
I'm going to go for Gable.
Same with me, because looking at the other one, I had the same thought you did, that Andrade is getting a big push and Andrade will beat Apollo.
Yeah, I think Andrade gets through to the semifinal here. Against Kevin Owens.
Okay, well, you're jumping ahead and ruining everything. It's okay. We'll go to the other side now. Now you have Joe versus Ricochet.
This is really hard because this dictates the direction of the whole King of the Ring, and I'll tell you why. Because if Ricochet wins his match, then Baron Corbin is my King of the Ring. But if Joe wins this match, then Joe is my King of the Ring, because I think that either one of them will win the final against the babyface from SmackDown. I'll tell you why I'm gonna lean towards Joe.
Okay.
To win against Ricochet and then inevitably win this tournament, unless I change my mind while we're doing these brackets.
You have no sense of suspense at all.
You know what? I'll pick Joe, okay. And I'll give my reasoning at the end.
Okay. I'm picking Ricochet in this, just because, and this goes to my whole looking at the rest of the bracket on the same side. Because now I see Cedric versus Corbin. And I go, well, I think Corbin's going to do damage. So I would pick then Corbin over Cedric. So who are you picking in Corbin and Cedric?
I think that I think we can have Cedric win that.
Really?
I think we have Ricochet and Drew and Cedric and Corbin going off into separate like little match, separate little feuds. Because I think they like that big man, small man.
They do, stuff. And they're pushing Cedric a little bit as well, because obviously he beat Drew a couple times. So yeah, you could see him get one over on Corbin real quick, right?
I can see Corbin and Drew teaming up against Cedric and Ricochet for a few weeks. And I think in the end, the big guys will win those matches because they need heels here, especially God. Drew. Especially Drew, because he hasn't had his title program, but Corbin has. Yeah. Which plays into my the direction I'm going to head towards the end. But for now, I think Alexander and Joe for me.
You know what? It's very hard to argue. I like my reasoning, and I also really like your reasoning as well. Because I'm like, it works that way as well. That Cedric would be the good guy on that side, and Joe would move on from the fucking other side.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that is fucking rough. The harder I think about it, it's fucking worse. Picking it real quick was a little easier. So I have in that final side, it's going to be Ricochet versus Corbin for me. For you, it's going to be Joe versus Cedric.
Yeah, and the reason being is simply because, okay, so Corbin's going to be good as a king in terms of he needs a change of ring attire and gimmick. Mm-hmm. You can see they're getting away from that thing yesterday. And I would think that based on things that I've been told by certain people that it would fit in for Corbin to do it. But I just think the overriding problem that they have is that you have the opportunity here to come out of this tournament with someone to face Seth Rollins, who is severely lacking credible challenges. Now, is the King of the Ring a device for you to simply get Corbin out of a bar outfit?
I think it's to give him a fucking gimmick almost, because it is to push people, but it's always seemed to been to give them a fucking gimmick other than like Austin.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So this is the thing. For me, it's a crossover between gimmick versus title contender. And Joe cannot have any more title shots after coming up short against Styles and Kofi without winning something.
It'd be ridiculous. He wins this and can't win a fucking match when it matters, but he wins this for nothing, because you don't get a title match. You get a fucking a title of a name.
But I think that you do get a title match, because I think look, there's two ways to go. Like I'm saying, there's a change of gimmick and a push that comes with that, but all pushes must lead to championships. The only way up from the King of the Ring is towards the title. And I think that we've just seen Corbin and Rollins, and we haven't seen Corbin and Joe. So that's why I've gone with Corbin losing, and I've gone with the Alexander Joe semi.
All right. So on the other side, I had Owens, I had Elias winning, and I had Ali winning. You had Owens winning and Buddy winning. So between Owens and Buddy, who are you picking?
I think you got Owens winning. Okay. And as we're getting to this, I think you have a built-in little thing here where Owens cut a shoot promo a few months ago, and he said that Buddy was one of the guys that was overlooked, and I think they made play on that.
Yeah.
They made play into that, where they have a little match here.
And Owens is getting that babyface push thing, too, going on, so that's that could work. And when we get to the end, I could give you an idea for what could possibly go on to. So, but I have it being, Elias and Ali. So I picked Ali to win this between the two of them because of their whole, you know, it should have been me kind of shit. He's doing a Ziggler thing. Now, in the next one, you have, we both had Andrade versus Gable. And we both just believe Andrade is going to win because he's getting a push. Okay. All right. Now we get to the finals of each side. And I have Ricochet and Corbin. You have Joe and Cedric. You're picking Joe to win that one?
Yeah, I think you get a heel versus face final.
Okay. I have Corbin winning my thing versus Ricochet. And going to that final. On the other side, you have Owens versus Andrade. I have Ali versus Andrade. Who are you picking there?
I have Owens beating Andrade.
Yeah. Okay. So your final is Joe versus Owens.
Yes.
Okay. I have Ali beating Andrade, and my final is Corbin and Ali. I will say Corbin wins over Ali and becomes King Corbin. And it's funny because they mentioned yesterday, which I go, uh-oh. Because they said, oh, if you thought me being a constable was bad, wait until I'm a king. And I'm like, oh, no, that's my fucking idea, you fuckers. I'm like,
oh, and I 100% see it. And I think that it's beneficial to him. And he was off TV for a while. Mm-hmm. And I can completely see that this was designed, you know, as a way to get him back on TV. It's like, what are we going to do with Baron Corbin? Bring back the King of the Ring. He'd be a good king. He's good at this. He's good at that. But we can't make him the constable again.
Yeah.
But we want him to be he's good in that role where he has. I mean, this is weird because you don't actually get any real power with this, but you get to say that you
have a gimmick.
New
clothes. That's what I'm fucking like. Please just have a tank top that's like royalty looking. Have some fucking gold on it of some sort that looks like a crown type of something fucking different. Go ahead.
I bet Corbin immediately because I heard that that he was being considered for this. It makes sense that he's off TV and he comes back and he's put straight back into this.
And he's like 12-1, right?
Yeah, he was. And also in addition to that, he's not 12-1 anymore. So there's been like money on him as well. I would think that Corbin does win this, but the reason I've changed my bracket is simply because I'm watching Raw last night and looking at the fact that they have to do Rollins and Braun, which is a Raw Rumble match, or could have even been the Mania match for Raw this year. And they got to throw it out at this Clash of Champions, and they got to get there out of nowhere. I mean, Strowman wasn't even on SummerSlam. And it just tells me that they need people for Rollins to face, and you'd get nothing out of this whole tournament in terms of moving that forward by giving it to Baron Corbin because he can't challenge again. And you need to then create another vehicle for Drew or Joe. Drew should have won this.
Yeah.
But I can see...
And do an Austin. Don't fucking wear it as bullshit.
Yeah. Which Joe could wear this. I can see Joe in the chair and...
Something.
Yeah.
Because it's like Samoan fucking royalty. That's what I could see with Joe.
Let me tell you another weird and sad little stat that I've noticed as well. The first guy that qualifies for the King of the Ring on a majority of the time does go and win it because the WWE do seem to have this attitude in terms of let's just get this guy qualified. It's been happening since Bret Hart was in the 93 King of the Ring, if you remember, as a number one seed. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I can't remember when Steve Austin qualified. I remember Triple H and Ahmed Johnson starting the King of the Ring in 97 and on Triple H getting himself disqualified. And then he somehow ended up getting back into it. And
yeah, we just covered that.
But yeah, I think in the history of time, the guy that ends up winning the King of the Ring always wrestles first on the King of the Ring pay-per-view, which means that he qualified first. So I think that this company has a real thing in terms of, okay, we know who's going to win it. We'll get him in the bracket and we'll work backwards. This is not backed up by anything statistical in terms of me. I haven't looked through here and I don't know the percentage of starting King of the Ring and then winning. But I just feel that this company, they like to get the winner in the bracket early.
So you have Joe and Owens in the final here. What was in my head when you said that was, is this where Shane fucks Owens to lose? Because how do you have Owens lose this when he's on the good guy streak?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Especially because he's talked about wanting it so bad, and you could play into the thing of where he wants to be like Bret Hart and Owen Hart, and his son's named after Owen Hart as well, I believe. So,
yeah. Okay, so you got Joe as champ here, King of the Ring, and I have Corbin as king. We'll see how the fuck this goes. And what's funny is we both, you know, make our picks and both agree with the opposite person at the same time, going, you know what? It's very, very fucking possible. Either one, I wouldn't even flinch like, oh, how could that be? I think both are very fucking equal. And I kind of almost hope for fucking Joe to win this because this poor fuck has not gotten to do shit. And it's like, maybe this would give him the push, and he's fucking really good, and he just never, he always fucking loses.
He was getting a lot of injuries at one point as well, and then he had a whole year now without one, so that's good. That probably puts more faith in him as well, because before it was hard to push him. In addition to what you're saying, I wouldn't be surprised if I nail the SmackDown bracket, then you nail the Raw bracket either. Like, that would be my second choice, would be, I would not change my SmackDown bracket at all.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to look at my Raw bracket and go with your side.
That's funny. That's it is interesting. And, you know, I mean, I think Vince does fall in love. Like, Corbin comes out and the fucking booze rain down. Oh, he fucking must love it. Be like, look at it. Like, they fucking hate him. So it's like, how great is it? I mean, people cheer Joe. They do the Joe, Joe, Joe every time. They fucking Corbin is hated. And this on top of it, that's a meltdown of heat.
I think what's clear about a heel winning this as well is the fact that...
always a heel.
it's also that the Aleister Black wasn't included in this tournament.
Thank God.
When he's... he's definitely in a position to be included in a tournament.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they wanted anyone to beat him.
I mean, Gable and Shelton, and it's like, what? And should we be clear on saying fuck Aleister Black?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just want to be sure. All right, that should be
one thing to look out for. I'd be interested if Bray Wyatt costs any of these people the King of the Ring. Maybe some guy like
Ali,
a Ricochet or an Ali or somebody. Yeah,
I guess he'd be on Raw, probably, right?
Yeah, this Miz would be. I think Miz maybe for Bray Wyatt's next feud, because he has maybe something to do with his kid. Maybe like
Then he could have the fucking kid on that Playhouse shit.
You know? Oh, that would be great.
Oh, my. Or, like, they could do vignettes of Miz walking in the house and being like, Monroe, what the fuck are you watching? And it's fucking Playhouses on TV. And he's, like, directly talking to her through the fucking television. They could do some fucking great shit. You go send this idea. This is great.
See, the other thing that they could be doing, and it might be too early for both of them, is that Bray Wyatt saying "Let me in" and Aleister Black saying "Knock on my door," and
oh yeah,
it kind of does go together. But then,
God forbid they let him lose a fucking match, Aleister Black. God forbid.
Well, neither one are losing right now, is what I was about to say. So that's what makes that difficult.
He could take away fucking Maryse because she's pregnant, and fucking kidnap her. Oh, there's fucking great stuff they could do here.
Well, Miz is doing nothing.
Yeah, not really. So, no, I think Fiend with fucking Monroe is the fucking way to go. I think that's fucking brilliant. Having her watching the fucking... They could do that whole fucking movie style where it's like, hey, there's a camera and you're fucking, you know, following you. What, we don't see this? You know, and he's looking for the kid and goes into the room and is like, you know, the back of the TV is facing the camera so you don't see it. And, like, Miz go in there and be like, what the fuck are you watching? And then we see from the front, you know, that it's Firefly Funhouse and shit. And, you know, they could do some fucking real good shit.
You know who would have been a good winner for this King of the Ring? Dolph Ziggler.
God. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, he would be good with it because he would fucking brag constantly that, you know, look at what he's able to do, conquered all this and stamina and yada yada. But... I'm like, how long is this contract? I keep thinking he was just in for a fucking, you know, a spot and he's leaving again, but apparently not.
No, he's in for a year. Like, he's in from a year from May, I think.
Shit. All right, well, this is over an hour and a half, and we only talked wrestling. How about that?
Yeah, because there's not as much therapy because it's actually not too bad at the moment.
No, yeah, that wasn't, it was, and I think our bracket thing was fun to listen to, too, so.
I mean, in terms of, like, the wrestling isn't that bad. It hasn't been unwatchable for quite a few weeks now.
It's shocking. Where could they find you, Mr. Botti?
Patreon.com/thedirtysheets for our wrestling stuff. But if you want betting stuff, it's lockbetting.com. That's it, really.
Yeah. If you want to comment on anything, you could tweet at Real Wrestlingus, and we'll reply to you there. For Billy, I'm Cav, and as usual, we're out of time.